Imagine waking up tomorrow and, realizing your company's website is just completely obsolete.
Oh yeah. That's a terrifying thought for a lot of business owners.
Right. And not because it's broken or, your hosting failed or anything, but because Google's AI has basically decided to intercept all your customers before they ever even click your link.
It is the reality of the digital landscape we're looking at today, to be honest. Google isn't, it's no longer just a search engine trying to send traffic away to other websites.
It's an answer engine.
Exactly. It
Yeah.
has evolved into an answer engine. The goal is to keep the user on Google's own interface for, well, for as long as possible.
Welcome to today's deep dive. If you're a local business owner or a marketer listening right now, that shift from search engine to answer engine, it changes the entire playbook.
It really does.
So we're looking at a highly detailed source today. It's titled Maximizing Phone Call Conversions Through Google Business Profile Optimization. And our mission for this deep dive is to unpack exactly why the rules of local search have drastically changed here in 2026.
And we want to give you the ultimate cheat sheet, basically,
Right.
to turn a static online profile into a, well, a call generating machine.
Exactly. So set the scene for us, because 2026 Google is not 2023 Google.
Right. To really grasp the strategies in this source, we have to look at the architecture of a local search query right now. In 2023, a Google Business Profile was basically just a digital phone book entry.
Like the Yellow Pages.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly like that. Just static info. But today, the platform integrates these AI-powered profile summaries. It has vastly expanded Q&A features and, of course, Google's AI overviews.
Right, those massive summaries right at the top of the page.
Yes. The algorithm is pulling data from your profile to answer user questions directly on the results page. So if you just rely on the old strategies, you're dead in the water.
The old set it and forget it strategy, where you just, type in your business name, your hours, and never look at it again.
Yeah, that is a recipe for absolute invisibility now. The source really emphasizes that surviving this ecosystem, it requires moving past just memorizing a list of tactics.
You have to know the why.
Right. You have to understand the underlying mechanics of how Google evaluates trust and, how human behavior has actually adapted to this AI-heavy environment.
Right.
If you understand the why behind it all, the what becomes obvious.
I really like that approach. So let's start with human behavior, because before we can, build a strategy, we have to agree on what we're actually trying to achieve here.
Absolutely.
A Google profile gives users a ton of options. I mean, they can click through to your website, they can request driving directions, they can send a chat message, but the source makes a pretty bold claim about one specific metric being the gold standard.
Yeah, and the raw conversion data in the text paints a very clear picture on this. When a potential customer actually initiates a phone call from a local profile, those leads convert into paying customers at a staggering rate of 30 to 50%.
Wait, 30 to 50%.
Yeah.
That is massive. That completely eclipses the other metrics, right?
Oh, totally. I mean, when you look at website visits originating from that exact same profile, the conversion rate drops to just like 2 to 5%.
Wow.
And direction requests, specifically the ones where someone just looks at the map but doesn't immediately walk through your front door, those convert at less than 1%. So the phone call is just the undisputed driver of revenue.
I'm trying to visualize the psychology behind that massive gap. It feels like a website click is someone grabbing a flyer from you as they walk past your store.
That's a good way to put it.
Right. Like they might read it later, they might throw it in the trash. And a direction request is them peering through your front window to see if you look legitimate. But
A phone call is completely different.
a phone call is a customer standing at your cash register with their wallet out. Like they've moved entirely out of the research phase and into the buying phase.
Exactly. And the friction of the modern internet plays a huge role in this too. People are so overwhelmed by AI-generated content, endless browser tabs, complex websites.
Oh, for sure. It's exhausting.
When they search for a local service, they often just want a real human being to definitively say, "Yes, I can solve your problem, and here's how much it costs." Picking up the phone cuts through all that digital noise.
Which introduces the ultimate filter for everything we're going to discuss today. The source treats this almost like a golden rule.
Right, the lens of the phone call.
Yeah. Every single optimization, every photo you upload, every word you write must pass one test. And that test is, does this make it more likely a searcher will call us? If an element distracts from the phone call or, introduces friction, it's actively hurting your bottom line.
Taking that filter and applying it to the most fundamental elements of a profile, brings us to contact information. Because honestly, if you get the baseline data wrong, you're essentially hanging up on the customer before the phone even rings.
Right.
The text looks specifically at businesses in Orange County, California, for example, and it mandates the use of local area codes like 949, 714, or 562. That has to be in the primary phone number slot.
Okay, I'm going to push back on that slightly, because in a lot of industries, a toll-free 1-800 number is kind of seen as a status symbol.
It is, yeah.
It projects the image of a larger, more established operation, maybe, you know, an enterprise-level company. Why is the source so adamant about ditching that for a local code?
Well, because local search intent is fundamentally different from national brand intent. When a user searches for a service near me, they aren't looking for a massive, faceless corporation. They're looking for a neighbor.
Right, someone in the community.
Exactly. They want a business that understands their specific community and can physically reach them quickly. So the local area code acts as this immediate subconscious trust signal. It verifies your proximity.
So if a business already has, say, national marketing tied to an 800 number, they should probably keep that for their broader campaigns, but ensure the Google Business Profile strictly uses the local number to capture that neighborhood trust.
That is the best approach, yeah.
Yeah.
And the way you implement that phone number brings up a critical technical concept from the source. It's called NAP consistency.
Right. NAAP, which stands for name, address, and phone number.
Correct.
So how exactly does Google use that NAP data? I assume it's more than just a simple directory listing at this point.
Oh, absolutely. Think of Google's AI like a detective, right? It's trying to verify a suspect's alibi. The algorithm is constantly crawling the internet. It's looking at Yelp, local chamber of commerce directories, social media, and of course your own website.
Okay.
It's looking for entity trust. So if your Google profile claims your phone number ends in 55, but the footer of your website says 54 and a local directory has some old 800 number, well, the detective finds inconsistencies in this story.
And the alibi falls apart.
Exactly. The alibi falls apart. And the algorithm instantly loses confidence in your business's legitimacy. When it lacks confidence, it pushes your profile down the rankings.
Wow.
Your name, address, and phone number must be a perfect character-for-character match across the entire web, starting with your website.
That makes total sense. Let's talk about another piece of baseline data that shatters trust, which is business hours. The source points out that inaccurate hours are a completely unforced error that destroys call conversions. Let's look at the mechanism of how that actually plays out for the user.
Sure. Consider the interface of the local pack. When you search for, say, a plumber, Google shows you that map at the top of the page with three specific businesses listed underneath it.
Right, the top three.
Yeah, the local pack. If a user sees you are open, they tap the call button and they get a generic voicemail because you actually closed an hour ago, they do not leave a message.
They just hit the back button.
They hit back, look at the very next business on that list, and call your competitor.
That is brutal.
It is. You just handed over a highly motivated lead because of a typo in your settings. And the source goes even further, noting the critical importance of secondary hours.
Yeah, I found that detail really fascinating because, you know, a managed IT service company might have standard office hours from 9 to 5 for billing or general questions, but if they offer a 24/7 emergency server recovery service, they actually need to flag those emergency hours separately within the profile settings.
Exactly. The goal here is removing ambiguity. If a medical clinic handles walk-ins from 8 a.m. to noon, but only takes scheduled appointments in the afternoon, the profile must explicitly state that.
Right.
You're basically training the customer on exactly when and how they can interact with you, which lowers the cognitive barrier to making the call.
Okay, so the foundation is solid. The detective believes our alibi, our numbers match, our hours are flawless. But that just gets us into the game. How do we actually prove to a 2026 AI algorithm that we are the absolute most relevant option for a specific search?
This is where we move from basic data to rich descriptive content. The primary vehicle for that rich content is the services section.
Right.
Historically, businesses have kind of treated this like a restaurant menu, just a simple, you know, bulleted list of things they do. But the source reveals this is a highly underutilized ranking signal. You need specific terminology and a dedicated 150 to 300 word description for every single service you offer.
Okay, I really want to dig into the why here. Because are customers really sitting there reading 300-word essays about cloud migration on a Google profile before they call?
Well, some highly analytical buyers might, but the primary audience for those 150 to 300 words isn't actually the human being.
Really?
Yeah. It's Google's natural language processing algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
The AI is reading those descriptions to understand the semantic context of your business.
Oh, so it's training data.
Precisely. It's training data. Let's look at the sources example of an IT company in Irvine, California. If they just list IT support, they're competing in a massive generic pool.
Right. Everyone says they do IT support.
Exactly. But if they write detailed entries for managed IT services, cybersecurity, HIPAA IT compliance, and cloud migration, they're feeding the NLP engine exact match phrases.
I see.
So when a user asks their smart speaker, "Find an IT company near me that does HIPAA compliance," the algorithm maps that complex long-tail voice search directly to the detailed service description on your profile.
That makes a lot of sense. You're giving the AI the exact vocabulary it needs to recommend you. Now, I want to pivot to something that honestly made me highly skeptical when I first read it.
Oh, the photo stat.
Yes. The source drops this statistic about visual content that seems almost absurd. It claims that profiles with over 100 photos receive 520% more phone calls and over 2,700% more direction requests than average profiles.
The numbers are verifiable, I promise. But the interpretation is where most people get tripped up.
Because logically, nobody looks at a picture of an office desk or, you know, a team member smiling in a hallway and suddenly thinks, wow, I must call them immediately. If I need a plumber, I don't care what their dispatch center looks like. I just want my pipe fixed. Is this 520% boost just a vanity metric?
It's a great question. It's crucial to separate correlation from direct causation here. The photos themselves aren't casting a hypnotic spell on the user.
Right.
What you're seeing is an algorithmic reality based on machine vision and engagement signals.
Walk me through the mechanics of that. Like, how does that actually work?
First, Google's computer vision analyzes every single image you upload. Mm. It recognizes that a photo shows a real building exterior, a real service van, or a real human team.
Okay.
It actually reads the EKSIF data hidden in the image file to verify it was legitimately taken in your city.
Mm.
All of this proves to the algorithm that your business exists in the physical world, which drastically boosts your entity trust.
Oh, so it prevents spam profiles from ranking.
Yes, exactly. And second, a massive photo gallery generates behavioral engagement. When a user clicks your profile and starts swiping through 40 or 50 photos, their dwell time, which is the amount of time they spend interacting with your listing, it skyrockets.
Oh.
The algorithm measures that dwell time. It sees a user lingering on your profile and concludes, oh, this business must be highly relevant and interesting.
I see the loop now. The photos kind of trick the user into staying longer. The algorithm sees the user staying, so the algorithm shows your profile to more people. More total eyeballs mathematically results in 520% more phone calls.
That is the exact mechanism. And to fuel that machine, the source outlines a strict visual strategy. You do not use random stock images. You need exterior shots from multiple angles to prove your physical location.
Right.
Interior shots to show operational legitimacy. Team photos with names to humanize the brand. And of course, action shots of your services actually being delivered and award plaques.
And the source insists on updating these photos monthly to maintain what it calls a freshness signal, which, you know, transitions perfectly into the next core theme, which is active engagement. The underlying idea here is that a static digital storefront is viewed by the AI as an abandoned digital storefront.
Absolutely. The algorithm is obsessed with recency. It wants to know if you're active today, not just whether you set up a nice profile 3 years ago. To hack that freshness signal, the source identifies Google Business profile posts as the single highest return weekly activity a business can execute.
I always thought of those posts as a graveyard where businesses just, like, copy and paste their Instagram captions.
A lot of people do, but the source explains there is a 7-day algorithmic window. When you publish a post for the next 7 days, the algorithm gives your overall profile a temporary visibility boost in local rankings.
It functions like a digital pulse check. Huh. So by posting weekly, you ensure that 7-day boost basically never expires.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you're entirely right about the Instagram comparison. The anatomy of a conversion-driving Google post is completely different from social media.
Right, because nobody is scrolling Google Maps for entertainment.
No, definitely not.
The source is very rigid about what these posts need to look like. It says every single post must include a dedicated call now button. And you also have to write your phone number directly into the body of the text just in case the button fails or the user is on some odd device.
You're systematically removing every millimeter of friction. You want to highlight a specific service, maybe present a limited time offer, or share a piece of hyperlocal news or an event, and then immediately funnel that attention to the phone line.
Speaking of attention, we need to examine how the freshness signal applies to customer reviews. The source presents a hypothetical scenario that really highlights the psychology of the modern consumer. Let's look at business A and business B.
Oh, the review reality check. This is one of the most vital insights in the text.
So, business A has 80 glowing, 5-star reviews. They look perfect. But the newest review is from 2023. Business B only has 60 reviews, and their average is a slightly lower 4.5 stars. But Business B has received new reviews this month, and the owner has publicly responded to every single one within the last 90 days.
Right.
According to the source, the 2026 consumer and the 2026 algorithm will choose Business B almost every time.
Because a 5-star review from 3 years ago tells the user literally nothing about the business today. Management could have changed, the top technicians might have quit, the quality could be terrible now.
Exactly.
Business B proves that the operation is currently delivering quality, and more importantly, that management is actively engaged.
Now, the section on how users interact with negative reviews was genuinely surprising to me. The source argues that potential customers read the owner's responses to negative reviews much more carefully than they read the positive ones. They use it as an evaluation tool.
Well, if you think about your own search behavior, it makes perfect sense. When a consumer reads a negative review, they're looking to see how the business handles conflict.
Right, like, are they defensive?
Yeah. If the owner responds professionally, takes accountability, offers a tangible solution, and provides a direct phone number to resolve the issue offline, that negative review transforms into a massive trust-building asset.
And the AI is watching this interaction, too.
It is. The AI overviews summarize review sentiment. If the algorithm sees you resolving complaints rapidly, that positive sentiment is fed directly into the summary at the top of the search page. That's why the source advocates for a systematic 24 to 48-hour loop.
Getting those reviews requested and answered fast.
Yeah. You request reviews via SMS immediately after a positive transaction, and you respond to all new reviews, good or bad, within 48 hours. It feeds the freshness signal continuously.
Okay, so we've established baseline trust. We've fed the AI's natural language processors. We're driving dwell time with photos, and we're managing our reputation. But what about the friction points? Let's say a highly motivated buyer finds your profile, they read a great review, but they're just on the fence. They have one specific objection holding them back from dialing. This brings us to the interactive features of the profile.
The goal here is preemptive objection handling.
Yes, and the tactic the source recommends for the Q&A section feels almost, I don't know, sneaky at first glance. It explicitly tells businesses to seed their own questions and answers, meaning you log into your own public profile, pretend to ask a question, and then answer it yourself? Isn't that weird? Isn't that violating some kind of community guideline?
I know, it feels counterintuitive, but it's a fully sanctioned and necessary strategy.
Mm.
The Q&A section is a crowdsourced feature. Anyone can ask a question, and worse, anyone can answer it.
Oh.
If you ignore this section, your most aggressive competitors will not. They can and will monitor your profile to answer user questions and basically siphon off your leads.
Oh, wow. I never even considered the competitive threat there. So by seeding the questions yourself, you control the narrative.
Exactly. You know the top 5 questions your sales team gets every single day. Oh. Do you charge for estimates? Are you HIPAA certified? Mm-hmm. What's your emergency response time? You preemptively post those questions and provide comprehensive, authoritative answers. And crucially, every single answer you seed must end with your phone number and a call to action.
You identify the objection, destroy it, and immediately offer the phone line as the next step. I love that.
It works so well.
Now, another interactive feature that causes a lot of trouble is Google Business Profile Messaging. This is the feature that lets a user click a chat button and send a text directly from the search results. The source notes that a lot of Orange County business owners actually disable this feature because they simply don't have the staffing bandwidth to monitor another inbox.
Disabling that feature might save time in the short term, but the source makes it extremely clear that in the 2026 landscape, it is a catastrophic mistake.
Really? But if you don't have the staff to reply, isn't it better to turn it off rather than just ignore people?
The trap lies in how Google measures your response rate. The platform has an internal API that tracks exactly how many minutes it takes you to reply to a message. That response rate is now a heavily weighted local ranking signal.
Wait, really?
Yeah. If you leave the feature on and ignore messages, your response rate plummets and your profile is actively penalized in the search results.
So you're forced to use it, but you don't have the staff. What's the mechanism to fix that?
The solution is instant automation. You enable the messaging feature, but you configure an automated instant reply. The second a user sends a chat, the system responds, "Thank you for reaching out. We monitor this chat periodically, but for immediate assistance, please call our dispatch team right now at," and then you provide the local phone number.
That is brilliant. You satisfied the algorithm by maintaining a perfect 1 second response time, and you instantly convert a chat lead into a phone call lead without requiring any human intervention.
Exactly. You turn a potential liability into a direct funnel to your cash register.
Okay, so we're running all these sophisticated plays. The automated messages are firing. The photos are driving dwell time. The phone is finally ringing. But how do we actually prove which of these strategies is generating the revenue? The source touches on the concept of measurement, and it issues a pretty strong warning against relying entirely on Google's own internal metrics.
Yes. Google's native analytics, which are called GBP Insights, are notoriously volatile. The platform frequently changes its attribution models, meaning how it decides to count a view or a click, which makes month-over-month comparisons highly unreliable.
If you can't trust the dashboard, how do you track the calls?
The source insists on using dedicated call tracking platforms. It mentions software like CallRail or WhatConverts. You essentially place a unique trackable local phone number on your Google Business profile. When that specific number rings, the software intercepts the data before routing it to your front desk.
So you know definitively, with zero guesswork, that this specific customer found you on Google, not from a billboard or a direct mailer.
Exactly. And more importantly, that tracking software integrates directly with your CRM, your customer relationship management system. You can tie a specific phone call from Google all the way through your sales pipeline to the final closed invoice.
Which allows you to measure the exact dollar value of your profile optimizations.
Yes, exactly.
Tying all these technical mechanisms together is a heavy lift for a local business owner who is, you know, just trying to keep their doors open.
Yeah.
It's worth mentioning here that the creator of the source material, an IT firm called Technigian, actually offers free Google Business Profile audits and SEO assessments specifically for Orange County businesses.
That's a great resource.
Yeah, if you're listening and looking at your profile and realizing it's a mess, they have tools available at technigian.com to help analyze exactly where the algorithm is penalizing you.
Utilizing an audit like that is critical right now, because the margin for error is shrinking rapidly as AI takes over the search interface.
It really is. Let's briefly retrace the mechanisms we covered today. We explored the psychology behind why a phone call is the absolute apex of customer intent. We looked at how Google acts like a detective, using NAP consistency and local area codes to verify your entity trust.
Right.
We unpacked how 150-word service descriptions act as training data for natural language processing, and how massive photo galleries hack the algorithm by driving user dwell time. Finally, we looked at seeding Q&A and automating messages to remove every ounce of friction for the buyer.
It is a complete evolution from a passive directory listing to an active algorithmic marketing engine.
Which brings me to a final thought I want to leave you with. Let's go back to the very beginning of this deep dive, where we talked about the 2026 integration of AI overviews.
All right, the engine that pulls all your data into a summary right on the search page.
Think about the logical conclusion of everything we just discussed. If Google's AI is extracting your granular service details, pulling the sentiment from your recent reviews, verifying your location through photo data, and answering objections through your seeded Q&A, and presenting all of that directly on the search results page,
the customer reaches the moment of purchase without ever leaving Google's ecosystem.
Yes. If the Google interface provides every single piece of data a human being needs to feel comfortable picking up the phone, is the traditional local business website completely obsolete? Your Google Business profile isn't just a funnel to your website anymore. In 2026, it might actually be your new homepage.
That paradigm shift forces every business to completely reevaluate where they spend their marketing budget.
It certainly does. I highly encourage you to ponder that shift. Go pull up your own business profile right now, look at it through the lens of a 2026 answer engine, and ask yourself, is this a forgotten flyer or is it a dynamic homepage driving calls straight to the register? Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.